St. Luke calls it the breaking of the bread. St. Paul calls it the supper of the Lord. Jesus termed it in the new covenant in his body, in his blood. Most of us here would say we call it Holy Communion. But however you describe it, the Eucharist is the centerpiece of the Catholic Christian experience. And the Eucharist is rooted, as we know, I hope, in the Jewish tradition of keeping memorial, a ritual that makes the past present and resurrects the old into fresh life through communal memory. We keep the memory alive, the community does. We have kept this memory alive for 2,000 years. And the church has long understood that the Eucharist is a sacrifice. But this sacrifice is not, it's often misunderstood, but the sacrifice is not only expressed through the surrender of Christ's body and blood, whether on the cross or on the table, the altar, for suffering sinful humanity. The sacrifice of the Eucharist is meant to include the whole Christian life. It's all about sacrifice. It's not just the end of life. Jesus didn't sacrifice just at the last 3 hours of his life. His whole life was a sacrifice for the kingdom of God. That's what he sacrificed it for. And that's what he asked us to do, to sacrifice, to join in the sacrifice. And so when you come here, you're joining in that sacrifice. Once again, making the memory alive and then saying, we are going to commit ourselves to this Christ and to his way of life, and that we're going to give ourselves to further God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. The sacrifice of the Eucharist is meant to include all life. And so when you partake of the body, the bread, the body and the blood, you agree to participate in that sacrifice. That's what you're saying. Do you understand it that way? I don't think many people do. I really don't. I think perhaps we've overlooked this thing, this detail, that we're part of it, because we prefer to leave the price of the Paschal mystery, the sacrifice, on the table, as it were. And I suggest that we might today, being our feast day, we might want to reflect on the cost of our participation in the sacrament. Before you come up here and receive the body and the blood, that you consider the cost of that. Not only the cost to Jesus and his life, but what it's going to cost you and me if we really are going to commit ourselves to this way of being in the world. The Eucharist really is all about committing oneself to live the life that Jesus led and to carry on his mission. I mean, that's what he was telling the disciples to do in the gospel today. You take the bread and you distribute it. He's saying it's your mission now. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? They were scarcity thinking. They were into scarcity thinking. A lot of people are into scarcity thinking. That's why they hoard things and think that they're going to lose things and all that kind of stuff, and that there's not enough abundance out there for everybody to have what they need. But they think, well, send them off, Jesus. Tell them go away, will you? There's too many of these people out there. And tell them go buy themselves some food. Now, he said, no, you give them some food. Because he knew that they had stuff in their pockets. If there was 5,000 of them, they all had something there that they could share. Everybody could have their fill. But anyhow, they were commissioned to do his work. You know, it's interesting, throughout the history, some have chosen to emphasize the mystery contained in the sacrament. Some people, especially in the Middle Ages, and even up until present time, were focusing in on the words, this is my body, this is my blood, as a reality to be wondered at, to be admired, and to be adored. And so the raising of the host, and then people who would do adoration of the host, it became something outside of you. It became a thing almost. That's not the way it was in the early church and for thousands of years. But it's interesting if you follow the history of the Eucharist and table fellowship and the understanding of what we're doing over time, and the structure has changed over the centuries. It's not always been the same. I think it needs to change more and more. We don't have anybody coming to church anymore. And basically because some of it has to do with the language, the liturgical language, the theology that we're still carrying it around from us. Some of it has to do with the structure and all that. I appreciate you all being here, but I wouldn't have a job. But, you know, if you look at the history of it and all that, it's changed even in our lifetime, has it not? I mean, we had an altar rail. When I was a kid, we had Latin. We couldn't touch the host. We weren't worthy enough. We had to take it by our tongue. It's like my mother feeding a child, and people still have that understanding today that they're not worthy to hold the host in their hand. The host and even the instruments, the chalice, the other things, the things we use around it, became so sacred that the lay people couldn't touch them. They were more sacred than the people were. How do we get off that way? I don't know. But still, some of us still are back in the 17th century with that theology and understanding. And it's interesting to look at the history of it. But then other people have understood the Eucharist as take and eat, take, eat, take, drink. That they acknowledging that it's a privilege and a responsibility to incorporate this Christ life in for the sake of the hungry in the world. And so it was around the time of the Reformation. Catholics went one way. And the other Catholics, which we call Protestants, they were Catholics, weren't they? They went the other way in their understanding of what's vital in the Eucharist. And you know what? Roman Catholics clung to the mystery. Roman Catholics clung to Latin. They clung to the priest's prerogative over the contents of the chalice. And then only gradually did Catholicism appreciate the wisdom in softening the distinct devotional aspect of the sacrament to ensure that full, conscious, active participation would be achieved by the whole assembly. That you now, I mean, it's quite different, is it not? Can all participate in this liturgy by words and by actions and by song and the rest of it. Theologians such as John Baptiste Metz, Edward Schillebecq's great Dominican theologian last century, they have warned about the dangerous memory that is implicit in the actions here. The dangerous memory. And then we're to keep this dangerous memory alive in the Eucharist. To keep it alive is more than just recalling what happened. We don't just remember what Jesus did. We reenact it so that it becomes part of us, and then we again make it real in the world. And that we live this sacrifice that we're celebrating. It's not just about believing in real presence, but it's about living it. We are to be the body of the presence of Christ in the world. That's the mission that the disciples were given. That's our mission today. So be aware of how serious a commitment you're making when you come up, what you're doing when you receive. You're saying, I'm going to live this life to the full. I'm going to give myself just as Jesus did, even if I have to die. Because, you know, the Eucharist often led to Golgotha in his life and led a lot of Christians. It was a dangerous act to do. To celebrate the Eucharist in the early church. You could die for it. Let me end with this. This is a meditation that when I was thinking about it, I think I probably used this maybe 10 years ago here. Nobody's going to remember. I don't even remember if I did, but I think I did. But I used to use this meditation, I could think, 40 years ago? Oh my God, yes, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, I came across this meditation. Oh, and it just seemed like yesterday, though. But I it was in this book, and I got several books that I've donated to the library here, and I got several boxes still in the garage in the rectory. And so I'm thinking about this meditation. I'm like, where is it? So I looked all through my library in the house, all the books. I went through it 3 or 4 times in my office and in the living room, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. So I gave up. And then the other day, I think it was Friday, I had written the homily. I had got my all thoughts together. I said, all right, that's it. And then all of a sudden, I come in from getting the paper, and I look over in the box, and on the top of the box is the book. And I went, wow, there you go. Somebody was helping me there. Here's the meditation, and I hope it helps you. It's something I had used, and it touched me, and I hope it touches you. Because it's really, I think, this says what I want to say. So here we go. It's poetry. It's called the Eucharist. He was old, tired, and sweaty, pushing his homemade cart down the alley, stopping now and then to poke around in somebody's garbage. I wanted to tell him about Eucharist, but the look in his eyes, the despair on his face, the hopelessness of somebody else's life in his cart, told me, forget it. So I smiled and said, hi, and I gave him Eucharist. She was cute, nice build, a little too much paint, wobbly on her feet as she slid from the bar stool on the make. No thanks, not tonight, and I gave her Eucharist. She lived alone, her husband was dead, her family gone, and she talked at you, not to you, words, endless words spewed out. So I listened, and I gave her Eucharist. Downtown is nice, lights change from red to green and back again, flashing blues and pinks and oranges. Flashing, I gulped them in. I said, thank you, Father. And I made them Eucharist. And I laughed at myself, and I told myself, Richard, you with all your weaknesses and all your selfishness, I forgive you. I accept you. I love you. It's nice and so necessary to give yourself Eucharist. So when are we going to learn? You cannot talk about Eucharist. We cannot philosophize about it. You do it. You don't dogmatize Eucharist, as we've tried to do. Sometimes you laugh it. Sometimes you cry it. Oftentimes you sing it. Sometimes it's wild peace. Sometimes it's crying hurt. Often, humiliating, never deserved. You see Eucharist in another's eyes. You give it in another's hand held tight. You squeeze it in an embrace. You pause Eucharist in the middle of the day, a busy day. You speak it in the ear of another. You listen to it from the person who just wants to talk. The Eucharist is as simple as being on time, and as profound as sympathy and compassion. So, Corpus Christi, I give you my supper. I give you my sustenance. I give you me. I give you Eucharist. You know, we can come here and receive every week. Some people are privileged and have the opportunity to receive every day. But regardless, whether you receive once a week, every day, once a month, whatever you do, you can give it every day.